All glory.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad to be here tonight? Amen. We're moving forward. Amen. One day at a time in Him. You all open your Bible just for a moment. I know most of you have already put your money in the basket. If you haven't, there's still time. But I just want us to look at a couple of scripture today, actually. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:9, one of my favorites. It's also one of the foundations that the Lord gives in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it wouldn't hurt you to read those chapters a few times over and over and see some things that are there. Amen. It says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. It was through his poverty. Where did Jesus become poor? He became poor at the cross, didn't he? Came totally poor. Came spiritually poor. He was made sin. He became sick. And he was totally destitute. I mean, we see the nice loincloth over him, and that's good for our own sensibilities, you know. But when he was on that cross, he didn't have that there. He became totally poor. He lost everything. He knew that his Father was going to have to turn his back on him. He was becoming sin for us. He was becoming poor in our place, and he was becoming sick in our place. Amen? He died physically, you know, in his body for our healing. He died spiritually in his spirit. He became sin in our place. That's why he said that same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead lives in you. The same kind of spirit. See, it was a new spirit that he received. That new nature came alive in him. He was dead to God because of sin. That's Romans 8:11. You know, but he became what? To the newness of life. He became born again, actually. In our place. He took sin in our place. You say, well, why could he be raised from the dead? Is because he was not sin. He was made to be sin. He had no sin of himself. Man needed a sacrifice like himself. Amen. Just like us. But he also became poor at the cross. He became totally destitute. He had nothing. What did he have left? He had nothing left. He was dying. You know, and we all know when we die, we don't take anything with us, right? It doesn't matter what he did have left. He was going. He became poor in our place. You know, it doesn't mean he lived poor while he was on the earth. He believed his Father. But he expects us to believe him too. Amen. We don't have to be poor. That we might be made rich through what he did, our substitute at the cross. So we can now approach him and ask him for things and he'll give them to us. Amen. Not based upon who we are, but who he is. Amen. And so that's just what I wanted to share this morning concerning giving. When we give to the Lord, we're to give our money unto him, right? So that the gospel may go forth freely. So because we were made poor with him, we suffered under poverty, and he did it in our place, we can then begin to appropriate the riches of this world as well as the things of God. Amen? We have the things of God, but he didn't leave out that he's going to take care of us. If he made us rich, then we could all say, hey, I know there's somebody that's got it worse than me. And I can make up my mind today, if it's $5, I can say, all right, Lord, if I cross that person, as I cross that person, I know there's somebody that's got it worse than me. I'm going to choose out of what I have and give that to them because I choose to, because I know that I can. I'm not going to listen to the levels of the devil's lie that says, you don't have enough to give, Douglas. I do have enough. I've got more than enough. I mean, we're in a first world country, right? But at the same time, there's others about us that don't have as much. And that's what he says in Matthew 6, which we talked about the other day. You know, when we give our alms, we don't give it to be seen of man, Get ready to give. Here I go. You know, but he said that we do it secretly between him and us and God and maybe that and that person. Amen. You know, we don't just give. We need to give into things, you know. We need to give to the church regularly. We should, as the Lord, as we purpose in our heart and the Lord blesses us. You know, we all have to have a generator. Something that generates our income, amen? Some kind of a job, some kind of a business. That's part of the earth. That's part of the things that we do. Amen. So, well, then aren't I doing it? No. We're doing it with whose strength? God's strength, amen? He said he'd give us power to get wealth. And here he said he became poor for your sakes that ye... through his poverty, might be rich. Might have more than enough. Rich in God, but also rich in the things of this world. We can have a few things. As long as they don't own us. Amen. And if we look more, you know, let's back up verse 7 for a minute. It says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in love to us. See that you're bound also in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So here he's saying, here twice, Apostle Paul mentioned our love, amen? That it's out of our love that we give. It's out of our love that we understand that Christ became poor for us, that we through his poverty might be rich. And herein I gave my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. They made a plan. They said, we're going to give unto the poor. We're going to do that. And so he says, hey, I want you to do it. But make sure it's out of the love of the Father. Amen. Our love for him. For what he did, that he became poor for me, that I through his poverty might be made rich. You see, we don't have to lack. He's made enough for us. So out of our abundance, we can plan and we can purpose in our heart to give. He goes on and says, not of grudgingly or of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver. And so... And it's not so that you don't have enough, but we do have enough. We got more than enough. And every single one of us in here, I don't care how far down you are, I don't care if you live on the street, you've got something more than somebody else. We run into people every day that's got less than we do. Amen? And we can be a blessing. Hallelujah. We can all learn to give. And be the givers that God's called us to be. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about it right now. But that's my scripture today. For our giving. For that we are blessed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That we don't have to try to get money. But money's trying to find us. It is. It really is. If we'll be faithful and we'll be diligent. Paul's saying. He says, hey, you're adding to yourself. And out of the love of the Father. He's naturally a giver. Our Father's a giver. We're givers. Amen. So everybody say it with me. I thank you, Father, that for your grace. I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Glory to God. That's good news. So, all right. I'm going to share something real quick also because I don't know anybody that hasn't heard about the coronavirus that's going around, this great coronavirus that the world is making a big to-do about. And it's unfortunate. It's pretty weak, actually, from what I understand. There hasn't been too many deaths and it's really, I mean, the way you think about it, you think everybody's getting it all the time. But it's not happening that way. So I want you to get fully assured of your eternal salvation in Christ. Be confident of your salvation. Resist the fear of death. There's nothing for us to fear. Amen. Thirdly, don't neglect your daily word and prayer. Prayer time. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Amen. And finally, focus on this with some effort. Jesus, you're included in every day, every second of my life. You're included in my every day and every second of my life. So we want to be sharp in a couple of areas. How to lead someone to salvation. Get them out of that fear. Amen. And laying our hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. We're not afraid. So we're not going to fear the virus. We're not afraid. Well, I think I got the virus. Well, may I pray for you? It'd be all right. Could I lay my hand on you? And even if they don't let you lay their hand on them, just pray for them. So, you know, be all right. We pray for you. Most people will accept prayer many times. Say, hey, I'd like to pray for you. And God will heal. Amen. We can get this thing wrapped up and move forward. Another thing, if you're afraid yourself, meditate on Psalm 91. Read it several times, over and over, and it becomes a part of us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear of the plague that comes near our dwelling. Amen. All right, let's turn real quickly to Luke chapter 6. That's where we were Wednesday night. Holy Ghost, let's just pray for a minute. Father, I thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that grace abounds toward us in every way of our life. And Father, I thank you that today that we have utterance in the Holy Spirit, that you come, Holy Spirit, and you teach us your word like you never have before in ways that are unimaginable even unto us, Father, that you bring truth to us, Lord, impart truth, Father, and grace to our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus, that we may be hearers and doers of your word. Amen. Hallelujah. We mentioned last Wednesday night, we were talking a little bit about counting the cost and what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. We went to Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Amen. We said, what does it mean to really seek the Lord, to seek out what it means to be, to truly be a Christian, to truly walk with God? Amen. And to be a disciple of his. We seek after him and his righteousness. In other words, his way of doing things. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked a little bit about that. We don't get to do it our own way because he made it up the way. He already placed the way within us. And we realize it's not our kingdom, but it's his kingdom. Amen. If I'm going to seek it, then I'm going to have to do it his way, we said. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 14. I believe we'll be there today. We didn't get there the other night because we were talking about some other things, that the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. He was just sharing with us to be and to seek that kingdom. And talking a little bit about different things. When you read chapter 6 of Matthew, where he says, you know, we're not going to give our alms before men to be seen of men. We're not going to pray to be seen of men. In other words, he's talking about the heart of man. He said our heart has to be totally in the Lord. Amen. Totally sold out to him. You can't serve God and mammon or money, we said. But we're to seek first his way of doing things. His way is the way of the disciple. We said that's a disciplined follower. When we follow him, more than we follow anything else, amen, it becomes number one in our life, and he is number one in our life. When we would decide to follow after him and do it his way. But I just want to start right away at the, what I'd like to do is go down to the 26th verse of Luke 14, then I'm going to back up a little bit and see some other things that are in here. Verse 26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Let's stop there for a minute. He's saying here, if we're going to do something, we're going to build a foundation, we've got to first count the cost. Amen. There's a cost involved. And we mentioned that Wednesday night. And what is that cost? And here he says, if any man come to me, he comes to Christ, he comes to Jesus, and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot, impossibility to be my disciple. Now we're saying, well, why? I thought we're supposed to love one another. But Jesus said, in comparison to our love to him, he's saying, you don't count the cost. In other words, I love Jesus more than I love my wife. And if I love Jesus, I'm definitely going to be loving my wife. Amen. How many knows that? And if we love God, we're going to love our family. There's going to be unity. There's going to be a peace. There's going to be a kindness. There's going to be a connection that's greater than that of our own ability within ourselves, because we are taking on his nature. Amen. We're taking on his ability, which is already on the inside of us, but we're maturing into all that that is. He said, you're complete in Christ, but you're not yet fully matured. But if you come after me, these are the things you'll begin to see. You begin to put off your love for somebody else. How many knows you can have a wrong love towards somebody else? Amen. Come on now. We can have that overlay. I can love my wife so much, I don't spend time with God. I can love her or put her first in my life to the degree that I deny other things. I don't do other things. You know, I don't seek after God. I don't go to church maybe. Well, why don't you go to church? Because my wife wants me to stay home and take care of her and treat her nice and take her places. I don't have time. We call those excuses, don't we? You said, well, that's not a very good excuse because my wife wants to come to church because she loves Jesus too. But if she didn't, I still have a responsibility to the Father to follow after him, after God. Amen? To put him first. To say, you know, honey, I appreciate that. I want to stay home with you, but I'll be home right after church and we'll do something. Amen. What's wrong with that? Nothing, right? Nothing wrong with that. You say, well, she might not understand it. She might not like it. She doesn't love God or know God. But I keep letting the love of God flow, and pretty soon she's coming in Jesus' name. Hopefully. We don't have perfectly can't pose our will on somebody else. Amen. Or the will of God, he won't do. But we can make circumstances so strong and so wonderful about them with the help of God and with prayer and the angels of the Lord that how many know if you can see clearly, you would choose Jesus. Amen. You know, so if you have somebody difficult in your family, we can keep praying. Amen. We keep believing and God will change circumstances. But I'm not to love my father, my mother, my wife, or even my children, or my brethren and sisters. My brothers and sisters, yes. And my own life also. I can't be his disciple. It says, and your own life also. Well, what does that mean? That means I make all my own plans. Amen. We have to surrender our will to the Father. We have to surrender our life to him. Say, Lord, I know that you have a plan for me. Now, if there's things in your life that you desire, he says he'll give us the desires of our heart. Amen. I believe God places certain desires in our heart and he'll bring those to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. But those desires that we have on the inside of us have to line up with Him, with His plan, His purpose for our life. We have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I lay this down and I receive of You. And normally when we lay things down, then He begins to bring them and resurrect them at the right time for our life and brings us into a unity with God's plan and purpose. See, we think we know what we want for our life. We think we know, but we've never actually had it yet. We hadn't got there yet. Well, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. That's a good goal, isn't it? That's a fair goal. It's okay. How many people usually make it? How many know there's just lots of people just make it by then, right? Lots of people, not very many. You know, not very many. There's a few. There's a few. But usually it goes in line with God's purpose and plan for their life. Maybe they're called to be a gospel entrepreneur. So money, oh, that's nothing for them to make money. It's easy. See, it becomes easy for them because it's part of the plan of God and the overall purpose of God for their life. You know, they just say, well, you know, if He's called them into that, or they just happen to get lucky, right? They won the lottery. You know what happens to all those people that won the lottery, right? They might be, if they're under 30, they might have a million till they're 30. You know, most of them become broke again. They come right back to the place they were before, or sometimes worse. They get in all kinds of debts and buy things they shouldn't and don't manage it well. And everybody says, well, that's not what I would do. I know. We all say that until we get there, right? We haven't been tested there yet. If you haven't been tested in that area, we don't know. We don't yet know, but we believe that we will because why? We're seeking first the kingdom. Because we're laying down our life, we're surrendering our will to the Father. Because we say, yes, Lord, I will love You more than I love my mom, more than I love my dad, more than I love my brothers and sisters, more than I love my wife, and more than I even love myself. My own life, what I desire, what I want to go after. You see, that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6. He said, we don't have to worry about our life, what we'll wear, what we'll put on. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Aren't they taken care of and clothed greater than anything? You know, than even we are sometimes. We said, but look at them. How will I not much more take care of you? How am I not going to make sure that you have everything that you need, all that you want? It will come to you. He can be trusted. See, that's the difference. See, faith is more than just knowing what God said. It's believing who God is, that He is the one that will take care of you. He is the one that will wrap His arms around you. He is the one that's going to see to it. Just like He watches over that sparrow, you're going to have enough food. There's going to be more than enough. He's going to take care of you. But we have to come to that place in our relationship with Him where we trust Him as a Father. But if we don't spend time with Him, we don't know Him, do we? When we begin to spend time in that Word and in prayer on a daily, consistent basis. Yeah, but I prayed and I read yesterday. We'll pray and read again today. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things in the Word of God. It is alive. It's powerful. Sharper than two-edged sword. Dividing asunder what we think between soul and spirit and even the joints and marrows of us. You know, He goes deep within. So that Word of God will cut and it's going to make clear to us what God desires more than what we desire. We have to say, all right, Lord, this is what I desire. This is what I think. This is what I plan in my life. Yet the Bible says God shall direct your steps. So we can plan our way if we want to. But we have to trust God to direct the path and to bring out His path. You say, well, what do I do once I find His path? You start walking in it and you take it one step at a time. Why? Because you don't know everything. Do you? If we did, why would we need Him? Why would we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit said He will guide us into all truth. Yes, He'll show us things to come, but He usually doesn't show us everything to come. He might show you the big plan at the end. He might show you a little bit in between. He might show you this is going to happen for you. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'm leading you, I'm guiding you, but it's one step at a time. And the key is, see, I didn't get where I am by just praying one day. You know, I didn't just one day pray and boom, you walk into the plan of God. No, it's a consistent walk day by day. It's just like you get up every morning and, you get dressed, you go to work, you have breakfast, go to work. You know, every day, right? You don't work at the job. You didn't work there just one day, right? And they paid you. Oh, I'm good for life. I'm going home. And, that's not it. You have to show up every day. What happens if you don't show up? Amen. What happens if you don't show up to work? You don't work there very long, do you? They said, well, I'm sorry, we can't use you. And the Father's just saying, come every day. Come to me every day. Come on a consistent basis. Come fellowship with me. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. I want a plan. I have a purpose for your life. And I want you to know that as you lay down your life, your things, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to listen. Oh, well, my mother said I should be this, or my father said that. My uncle said this, and Aunt Jo said that, and so-and-so prophesied this, and so-and-so prophesied that. And you need to leave that on the shelf, and you need to seek God and say, Lord, what are you saying about my life? What are you saying? You've got to find that place. We've got to say, Lord, I lay down my life. I lay down my will. That's one of the biggest things that we do, is lay down the will of our will to the will of the Father. Amen. It's not always easy. Sometimes there's things that we really desire. I know that Oral Roberts talked about he wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma. That was his life's ambition. He said, man, I want to do that. He was going, he was hungry for that, but God had other plans. God said, no, I want you to be a preacher for me, an evangelist for me. I want you to declare the word of God. I want you to build a university. And God began to speak to him. He began to obey one step at a time. Amen. And we see some of the fruits of that, some of the great healings and some of the great miracles. He's gone on to be with Jesus and the eternal reward. Did he do it perfectly? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't have to judge it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But we will receive reward for the good things and the things that we've done in this body and in this life. There's eternal rewards that we're looking after. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower, we're to take up our cross and come after him to be his disciple. And so we're going to have to pick up something. We pick up his will. We pick up his plan. We pick up his purposes. Amen. We say, all right, Lord. He said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light, so it doesn't have to be a hard thing. But we do it on a consistent basis. Yes, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I'm not going to love myself. I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. Doesn't mean we don't care about ourselves. He says, but if you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're going to take care of him. He knew that we already love ourselves. Most people already love themselves. I mean, not everybody. But I'm just saying, in the sense of this, you take care of yourself, put your clothes on, make sure you got food on your table. You eat, you feed yourself for the most part. We love ourselves. We like the things that we have. We enjoy them. And that's good. That's a healthy love, But he said that same love, we're to look not only to our own interests in Philippians, but also to the interests of others. So we don't become self-centered, so much thinking about me and what my place is in the body and how great I am and who I'm going to be. And look at everybody's going to look to me. Because I know that God will use me. Yes, he will use you. And we want him to use us. But we have to lay ourselves down. We have to lay our ambitions down sometimes. We have to lay our own dream down sometimes to follow after him. He might want you to do like he asked me. Serve Dave Roberson for a while. Serve under his ministry. Serve under what I want him to do. Make him look good. Well, I got some revelations, Lord. Why don't they ever have me preach? Well, they did eventually, but we have some of our own things, and sometimes we have things within us that God's going to bring forth. And he put that in your heart to pray, to seek him, to birth that out, to bring it to pass. But sometimes he has us serve under another person for a while to help their ministry, to boost them up. Why? Because he is training us. He is taking us to a place in him where we can be fully trusted by him. You see, he's got to prove us. He had to prove Abraham. Amen. Abraham had to bring his only son. In Abraham's heart and mind, he already sacrificed his son to God Almighty. I mean, he took the knife out. He tied him up. He's got him on the altar. He's going to slay him. He said, I'm going to slay my son. And in God's eyes, his son was slayed. He said, oh, stop right there, Abraham. Sends the angel of the Lord. No, I'm not going to do it. You don't have to do that. There's a ram here in the thicket. And he says, I will provide myself a lamb. And God was getting ready to provide Jesus. This is a type of Christ. He said, it was as good as done. I believe Abraham knew. He believed God would raise him up off that altar if he killed him. And I believe he'd have done it. Obviously, it was in his heart. It was there. Even his son said, Lord, where's the, Father, where's the lamb, you know, for the sacrifice? He was just a little boy, you know. He was at least probably man size, you know. He's 17, 18 years old. I mean, that's what is told, you know. Even if he's 12 or 13, he could have been good size, you know. No better than hey, we don't go up to sacrifice without the sacrifice, right? You're going up there, you know. I mean, he must have been an obedient boy to lay down at that altar, let his father tie him up there. He trusted him, you know. That would be something, wouldn't it? But Abraham had that in his heart already. He surrendered what he had, his only son that he'd waited 25 years to receive. You know, had to be the son of promise. You know, they tried it other ways. Have you ever tried something another way? You tried it your own way. Like Abraham. See, he tried it his own. He and Sarah, they got a plan. Sarah says, hey, you can have my maid, right? You can have my slave, this gal that's our servant here. You get with her and we'll have a son through her. Isn't that wonderful? That'll be great, you know, but God didn't have any part of it. God said, no, this is going to be the son of promise. And he waited and waited and waited till Abraham had no hope. Sarah had no hope. She was barren anyway. You know, but this is way past the time of having children. But how many know God's big? He can raise the dead. Amen. He can resurrect things in our life that it looks like are gone. Doesn't look like anything's going to ever happen. You know, we tried our own way and it doesn't work out. We need to let it go. Abraham had to let his son go. He had to let Ishmael go. There's still problems today because Ishmael. Amen. I mean, they're trying to do a lot of things still, but that's not the issue. Is that he did finally come to the promise. Amen. He did receive the son of promise. He received Isaac. And Abraham was willing to lay him down. And sometimes there's a cost in laying our life down and not doing our thing, but following him. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we've got to follow the Lord. We've got to begin to come after him. Now, one way we say, well, I don't know how do I really come after him in a New Testament way? How can I come after him? We talked about prayer and the Word of God. We begin to pray. Primarily, when you begin to pray in other tongues, you begin to pray out God's perfect will for our life. Amen. I remember when I first began to pray in tongues. I was about Joseph's age. And I started praying. I was going to pray all day, and I did. I borrowed a friend's apartment, and I stayed home from work and everything. I was even thinking about quitting my job, and I prayed all day long. Prayed 8, 9 hours all day. And so he came home from his job, which he should have. But the Lord asked me a question during that time. He said, how come you're not at work? I said, because I'm praying, Lord. But he said, I want you to go to work. I said, okay. So I believed God, and I already had believed. I knew that what he said. He said, okay. You know, Lord, I want you to go to work. I said, okay. I don't want you just standing here praying all day. I want you to to work your job. Get to work. Get back to work. So next day, of course, I went back to work. I was thinking about it, though. I was thinking about leaving my job, which is kind of, I know that was way before I ever heard anybody like Gary or anybody like that. Okay, this was just my own thing because I thought, well, you know, if somebody else does something, doesn't mean we're supposed to do something. Amen? That's right. See, I had heard Pastor Dave's tape, one tape on him, and he said on there, you know, he was so hungry for God, but he had a vision. There's a difference. You know, and he was hungry for God, and he quit his job, so I thought, well, I'll quit my job, you know, and I'll just pray every day and see God. But that wasn't God's plan for me. That wasn't God's purpose, and for most people, it's not, especially when you're 21 years old. Dave's a little bit older, you know. I know that he followed after God and followed the plan of God there. God had a purpose. God had a plan in that. But my plan was to be at work, to be a testimony there, and to pray while I had a job. I worked down in the state in Nichols Hills, 18 acres next to the golf course, the largest estate in the city. Couldn't beat it. It was nice. We had 18 acres that was, I mean, we would... was, I would say, unmanicured, you know, compared to right around the house, about 5 acres, which was manicured, which there's a pool and bricks and flowers and trees and real nice grass. And the other was nice also. We had nice trees and grass out there, but it wasn't like super manicured. So I would be given the job to take care of the 14 acres while the rest of them took care of the 5 acres up there. Isn't that crazy? But anyway, I got 14 acres, they got 5. But anyway, the reason I say that's not fair is because they keep calling me up to help them with the 5. That was the part that wasn't really fair. But my boss said, well, how come that's not done and that's not done? And this, I said, well, because you keep calling me up around the house, you know. But that was okay. I didn't mind. But I got several days a week, 3 days a week that I'd be mowing the grass, and it'd take me about 5 hours with the tractor and gang mower. That was just the main acreage. I did that 3 times a week. It wasn't manicured, but we mowed it 3 times a week. So it looked nice and keep the water going out there. And we have a, you know, several trees around it. Have time in there, and so all that time I could give to, begin to give to prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, finding out, what do you want, Lord? I thought I knew what he wanted, but sometimes we don't have it right the first time in our mind, amen? We come up with all kinds of things and ideas. Well, you know, God's calling me a great evangelist. I can see the tens of, and he may have called you. That may be a call on your life. But how many know it doesn't usually start out with the tens of thousands? Amen? Well, we may have that here eventually. We'll see as the Lord moves. But it's counting the cost. It goes on and says, or it says here, saying, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him. They're saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Okay, we can understand that. If you're building a tower or a building and you don't count the cost and you get halfway done, there it stands. Halfway finished. We don't want to be halfway with God. Amen. We're building a spiritual foundation. We're building a spiritual life with our Father. And God has a purpose, and we're building a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he wants us to work in his kingdom, to find that plan. Amen? That's 28, sorry. Verse 28 of Luke 14. Verse 30 says, saying, this man began to build. He wasn't able to finish, so they're making fun of him. Anybody ever see that happen? Someplace, there's some place they started building. They're sure it's going to be great. They got about halfway done, and maybe the funds ran out. They ran into things they didn't think, or maybe it just got hard, or maybe it was just not, it wasn't worth it to finish it. You know, they didn't count the cost properly. They didn't have enough. So we got to count the cost. Say, all right, Lord, I'm going to lay this down. What's the cost going to be, Lord? I know that Catherine Kuhlman, that's what she said, I've died 1,000 deaths. In other words, the things that I wanted to do. She wanted, you know. I know one thing, she wanted to be married. She did get married once, you know. Ended up having to lay that down. Following the Lord. You know, it wasn't perfect, but it's something that she had to decide. Say, oh Lord, I've tried it my own way and it's not working. I think I'll take your way, amen. I know Gary talked about that in the trucks. The Lord had told him to stop driving trucks for a while. He didn't do that immediately. Well, you know, a few months into that, he had, you know, an accident where he fell out of the truck, climbing up into the truck, and ended up laying in a pool of blood for about 3 hours, you know, where he'd hit his head on the blacktop. And fortunately, it was in March. It was kind of chilly, you know, cool. So he didn't bleed to death. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, he realized, Lord, I think I'll follow you. I better obey you, Lord, what you ask. So there is that time also, you know. When God does tell us to do something, we want to be obedient. Amen. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense today. But verse 30, say, let's go to 31. It says, or what king, it says here, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow. I mean, that's a pretty heavy. I mean, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's forsaking all that we have. Everything that's been, that you already have. Some have nothing, some have a lot. So for some people it might not be very much, but it's still something to them. It's what they desire. You see, we can't judge other people based on, well, they didn't have to give up very much. Well, you don't know what they had. And you don't know what their dream was. You don't know what their desires are. And you don't know what they suffer. Some people have to give up their suffering. Well, what do you mean by that? You know, you ever meet? I know some people that they've had terrible things happen in life. That's why they're living on the street. They can't get out of things. And sometimes they have to be willing to give that up. Say, well, you know, there's one particular gentleman. He was on the street and he felt he was on the street because he accidentally killed somebody in a car accident. And he felt like that was kind of his punishment. You know, he said, well, then this must be my punishment. We know it's not his punishment. It wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. It was not like he tried to do it. But it's so, you know, that particular trauma so traumatized him. He was caught in that part of his life. But he finally gives his heart to Jesus. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, the freedom begins to come. Amen. So he had to lay down those things. He had to lay down the bad too, and the good. Amen. Sometimes it's bad things that we lay down. We're like, well, we're happy to do that. Sometimes. But how many know, sometimes you get so engrossed in the familiar. You know, Jesus said, men would say the old wine is better. See, they were so happy under the law. The old is better. He said, no, the new wine. We have to take the new way into the Father. We have to take His path, regardless whether it was good or bad behind us. It doesn't matter if we have a lot or little. He says, we have to forsake all. Forsaking all. I have to forgive. I have to forget. I have to move forward. I have to allow it to die. I have to allow it to die behind me. Let whatever is, let the past be the past and move forward with Him. But I made, you know, we have to let go of that mistake then. We've got to let go of that. You know, sometimes it's a mistake we make. I married the wrong person. You know, it was horrible. They wouldn't change. They wouldn't get saved. They beat me. They took, you know, God doesn't want that. That's not the will of the Father. It wasn't His perfect will for you to get married, but it's also not His perfect will for you to stay there. Amen. He doesn't want you to get beat up every day. And if there's anybody in that situation, you let me know. I'll help you. We'll get some of us men together, amen, we'll be him. Oh, no, not really. That was untrue. But it makes you feel that way, you know. It does, because we want to respect women. We want to respect people. You know, and you deserve that because God made us all equal, amen. We're equal at the cross. We're equal in his eyes. So we don't want that. But anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but sometimes we've got to let go of our mistakes. I've made a few mistakes in my life. I had to let go of that mistake. Not marrying my wife. She's a wonderful lady. I've never been married to anybody else. I've been married only to my wife. 32 years coming up in April 9th, here in a few weeks. So it'll be 32 years, and we're very happy together. We're very thrilled. And no, we didn't have any children, in case you were asking. It just didn't happen for us. I've had some things. Part of it's me, and part of it's things that she experienced physically. And so we've been checked out. It just didn't happen. So hallelujah. Anyhow, we're moving forward. Doesn't mean we'll never have children. We've got a whole group here. Hopefully we can all grow up together. Amen. And build a good foundation in this church. But we don't look also, the king's here and he's going off and he's saying, hey, we've got 10,000. They've got 20,000. Can we defeat them? You don't go up there, well, we got some bow and arrows and some sticks and they've got, you know, a few jets and some firepower. You know, how many of you know if the Pentagon contacts you, what do you want, right? You guys got the big guns, you know. I remember one guy said in the U.S. anyway, the Pentagon had contacted him. Well, the Pentagon is where they've got all the big guys and all the generals and all these people are there. And he says, what do you want with me? I've got a 45, you know. Suddenly I felt very small, you know. They said, we know you. Well, is that good? You know? That was David Hogan, by the way. They called him over there in Mexico. No, they just wanted him to come pray at the Capitol. But, and he was thankful for that. He says, oh, okay. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we don't look at that. We see what is there, you know. What do we have to lay down? What in our lives? What's holding me back, Father? Is there any idol in my life that I need to lay down? Something that takes the place of you, my time with you. And see, the more we get to know him, the more he's going to draw you in. As I was talking about, the greatest thing that we can do is we can pray in other tongues, because we don't know everything. But the Holy Spirit knows where you are or where you're not in the plan of God for your life. And he knows how to get you there if you'll trust him. If you'll trust him, you'll get to the destinations and many of the things that you desire will be brought to you anyway. Because you're on that path. When you get on that path, sometimes things just come to you. Certain things. I mean, things in this life even. You say, well, why? Because you prayed it out. Yeah, but I didn't ask for it. I know. That's the beauty of it. You didn't know you were going to need it even. I know I was going to Colorado and I was just not sure what we were going to do. I bought this trailer by faith. I bought this two-axle trailer, 16x4. Put all my stuff on. I was moving out to Colorado for a little while at least. I was thinking about putting the house up for sale then. Lord said, no, don't do that. Okay. A couple of weeks before, about a week and a half or so, somebody called me and said, do you want to rent your house? I said, yes, I do. I guess I do, Lord. Hallelujah. He had somebody already planned. And they needed the help. They couldn't get a rental anywhere. They lost their house and couldn't get in to rent somewhere else because of their condition, their credit. Nobody would take them. They didn't have enough. They wanted to have four times the rent and all this and the bank, and they didn't have anything left. Not that they were poor, they were working, but they couldn't get a rental even though they could afford it. And so they took the house. And I said, all right, great. We'll do it. And yeah. Oh yeah. And Lisa left the cat there too for them. For that, during that time. Thank you for what you're doing, sister. But, Yeah, they held on to our cat for us until we got back. So they even did that, which was amazing. So anyway, we did that, but I was in that process. I'm thinking, well, Lord, I could probably take this old car I got, and I could I think it's big enough to tow this trailer. I think we could do it. I can get a hitch on this car and we'll tow this trailer. That wasn't the Lord's plan. You know, He had something better in mind. In particular, during that time, someone had called me up and said, I'd like to talk to you. And I didn't know if they wanted to talk about their marriage, their relationship with God. I don't know what they want. You know, I just thought maybe we're just having some fellowship. Let's have coffee. I said, okay. So I met him. We got to talk a little bit. Well, how's the family? You know, how's your cat? How's your dog? You know, what's going on? You know, trying to get down to it. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, he says, these are yours. And he hands me the key to this truck. And my great words were not, thank you, Jesus. They were not. They were, are you sure? Are you sure the Lord's telling you to do this? And he said, absolutely. He's been dealing with it for several months, and I'm supposed to give you this truck. I said, he said, let's take it for a drive. See if you like it. I said, okay. Of course, it ran fine. It's a good truck. Older, but very good truck. And so I received the truck. And the car, I received instructions right after that to give that car to someone that needed it. I mean, you know, single people sometimes have a little bigger struggle than you or I. And this particular lady was coming to the church. Her car was, I knew it was not running well at all. It was time to ditch it. You know, it's time to get rid of it. Just take it to the salvage and get what you can. And so we were able to do that. She was able to be blessed as well. So she had some transportation. Amen. And so God's got a plan. He's got things that we don't think about. He's got things beyond us, and that's the beauty of praying in the Holy Spirit. It's praying out the very purpose of God, the plan of God, the mind of God for us, so that we have His strategy and not ours. So that we don't start going up against the king that's got more armies than us. You know, sometimes, how many know sometimes there's battles that we're not supposed to get into? Anybody ever done that? Try to win something? That wasn't your battle. You hadn't sought the Lord. In the Old Testament, they, you know, when they didn't seek the Lord, they just went up there. If it wasn't God's plan, they got beat. So, Lord, what did we do wrong? Well, I didn't want you to go up there. Do you want me to go up now, Lord? No, not yet. You know, or He would give them the strategy. Oh, when you hear this in the trees, you know, they're rustling just so. Then go up. Oh, okay. Well, what does that mean? That means God's for you. Amen. So we want to be careful not to just take, you know, sometimes people go after certain battles. You know, they want to close down all the bars in town. Well, that might happen, you know, if we have revival and so forth. But is that something God wants you to pray right now? Is that a battle He wants you to go after? You know, I know one particular guy, he tried to do that, you know, and so he's, you know, you can't just do that. You don't have authority in that area, in that realm, you know. Didn't say I have to close down. We have to trust God. Amen. It's much better to believe they get born again, let them close down. Amen. That's the revivals I've read about. They got so born again, so saved. I like Charles Finney, you know, he had 80% of his followers that stayed with the Lord. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's really good. Compared to some of the others that, you know, they have good results and they have people coming to the Lord, and we don't want to diminish one soul. Amen. How many know it's worth one soul? It's worth the millions and it's worth all that we have. Amen. There's no, you can't put a price. Who could put a price on the soul of a man? Amen. But same time, I'd rather follow after the men that birthed it in and got 80% to stick around than others that, you know, they didn't fulfill the birthing process. Yeah, they had some births, they got some people saved, but maybe they had 6% or 3%. You know, So we want to follow after God and do it His way. Because we know that, you know, when the Israelites did go to war, they went to war, amen? Sometimes they were battles that they had more men than they did, but God had a plan. He said, okay, send out the worshipers. Boy, that's not man's plan, is it? Send out the bombers, you know. Come on, guys, get up there ahead of us. Send the military ahead and then send in the troops. But oh, send the worshipers out there. They are the great bombers. Amen. They worship God and bring the glory of God, and all the enemy gets confused. And, okay, and I'll break the cups, you know. Boy, what? I mean, these strategies are not man-made. They come from heaven. Amen. Well, walk around the city. How many times? 7 times. Well, what's wrong with once, Lord? You know, we can just walk around once and you can come down, right? That's not what He said. He said, make it 7 times. Not only that, be silent. Shut up. Don't say anything. Be quiet. Sometimes He tells us, be quiet. Be silent. Hold on. Yes, I've got the plan for you. Yes, I'm going to bring it to pass. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm going to bring it. You're going to have what I desire. It's going to be so good, so much better than you thought it could be. If you rush out and try to get it yourself, amen? You know, and sometimes things happen to us that aren't our fault. Sometimes we have to lay down that forgiveness, amen? I forgive, Father. I hold blameless. I release it. I let it go. I pray for them, Father, that they might know You. Amen. I don't hold that against them. Don't hold that charge, Lord. God hasn't forgotten that one. Sometimes we need to be about His business and remember that He's after that one still. Amen. He'll get them. He'll get it done for you. Get that one family member. Get that one person that you've been praying for. He knows how to reach them. Amen. And we keep praying for the strategies that will come to pass by the Holy Spirit. He'll help us to build the tower. He'll help us build the kingdom. He'll help us build the church that He desires, that He plans, one that's not going to fall. It's going to stand. Why? Because the Lord's able to make it stand. It will not fail. It will mature. It will grow. It will go forward. Amen. Because we're in His plan, His purposes. We're playing out and birthing in His kingdom to do it His way. We might get a plan to go worship somewhere. Send out the worshipers. All right, Lord, we're having a night of worship, whatever it may be. We're having a night of prayer, days of prayer, times of prayer, which we are having. And we're going to continue that. But sometimes we've got to forsake all, or we can't be His disciples. We have to lay down our own life. We have to lay down our own desires and pick up His. Amen. Count the cost. We have to count the cost. There's a cost to following the Lord, to being a disciplined follower. Amen. But it's not too much, because it's gaining something else that's much greater. It's Him. We gain His ability. We gain His strength. We gain His purpose, and we gain rewards in heaven that will last forever. See, it doesn't matter how many things we can, you know, pile up in this earth. All the things of this earth is going to burn up eventually. It's not going to last forever. It's all temporary here. But we're going to have eternal rewards in heaven. We're going to have people that can say to you, thanks for praying. Thanks for laying down your life. Thanks for loving me more than your mom and dad and your wife and all those people that you love so much. All the things. Thanks for not watching TV all day and take some time to pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for not letting your hobby consume you so much. She didn't have time for God, but you did. You sought the Lord, and here I am. I'm a result of some of your prayers and some of your work. And they'll be there not just for a day or two, for all eternity. All eternity. God's interested in souls. God's interested in you. He loves you. And he wants you, desires you. Let's take ourselves and let's count the cost. Let's seek after God and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. So those are some practical things we can do, or at least one practical thing we can pray in tongues. Amen. To following into that plan. And even if you, maybe you say, well, I don't know if I want to give my will to him. What do I do? Say, Lord, I want to, but I don't want to. You, if you will give yourself to him and start saying, Lord, okay, by an act of my will, I pray in tongues. I let you have your way. He says he's going to work into you, in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll bring that about. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. Say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll lay it down. If you'll help me, Lord, I'll forgive. If you'll help me, Lord, I can do this. We need his grace. It's by his grace that we do those things. And grace is his empowerment. It's his strength for our weakness. Where we can't do it ourselves, he comes alongside and he says, I give you the grace for that. I give you the grace to stand strong. I give you the grace to resist that sin. I give you the grace to forgive. I'll give you that grace. That grace is available to us. He said, come, you know, to that throne of grace where we receive what? Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Come boldly, not slothfully, boldly. Say, I don't know if I could do it. Come boldly to him. Let him help. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace that we can enter in, that we can count the cost and follow you, Lord, and do your plan and do your bidding, where we can lay down our dreams, where we can lay down the things that mean something to us, Lord. And Lord, and to receive the things that mean something to you, Lord. Eternal rewards and eternal kingdoms, Lord. Eternal things, Father. Eternal souls, eternal lives, Father. We thank you, Father. That's what you're interested in. And we want to lay down ourselves that we be interested in those things, Lord, more and more. As we come unto you, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And we surrender our will to you, Lord, that your will may be done in our lives. Because we know that it would be more fulfilling, not only in this life, but in the ages to come for all eternity, Lord. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.